Scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive us as the Lord forgave you. And over all, these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God.
Two monks were strolling along a stream on their way to the monastery. As they walked out, they were startled by the sound of a young woman in a bridal gown sitting by the stream, crying softly. Tears rolled down her cheeks as she gazed across the water. When they asked her what was wrong, she told them that she needed to get across the stream to get to her wedding, and she was afraid that she would ruin her beautiful handmade gown. In this particular Buddhist sect, monks were prohibited from touching women. However, one of the monks was filled with compassion for the bride. Ignoring the restriction, he picked her up and he carried her across the stream, setting her down on the other side. She bowed and thanked him graciously, and then the monk went back to join his friends to travel home. The second monk was livid. "How could you do that?" he said. "You know we are forbidden to touch women." He just scolded him all the way home, all the way back to the monastery. He wouldn't let it go. The offended monk listened in silence as the stern lecture lasted, and his mind began to wander. The warm sun was beating down on his back, and he noticed the butterflies and the birds chirping. And so later that night, he was jostled awake by the second monk again. "How could you carry that woman?" Sleepily, he said, "What woman? You don't even remember that woman that you carried across the stream?" "Oh, her," he laughed. "I just carried her across the stream. You carried her all the way back to the monastery, and you still haven't put her down." Marshall Goldsmith, in his book called The Earned Life, he talks about when we carry grudges and become cynical to the selfishness of others, we put ourselves at risk for introducing pointless conflicts in our lives. The second monk, even though he did not touch the woman, he carried the burden of what he perceived as the first monk's misstep. How often do we carry around past hurts or other people's issues and hold on to resentments when the only person that we're really holding or hurting is ourselves? Indeed, we need to be in tune to things that are happening right now, as well as in the future. The past is a useful guide, but if we dwell on it too much, we can become stuck in the past. Now, I'm not saying that we don't want to learn from the past. Obviously, we do. But we just don't want to live there. You know, we all go through times when other people say things or behave in a way that is hurtful toward us. One of my self-imposed burdens is I continue to live it over and over and over in my head. I think of different ways that I should have responded or wish I had responded, and I just continue to spend all this energy thinking about it. So don't be me, okay? Ultimately, this results in weighing us down, and it saps our energy. You know, if I think about all those misused hours, if I could just have those back to use them in a way that's more productive. Instead, we can choose forgiveness. My husband, Rich, tells me when I get like this, "Don't let them steal your joy." And he's right. So no one can steal my joy unless I allow them to. So it sounds simple, right? It's not easy. You don't just wake up one morning and decide, "You know what? I think I'm going to forgive my coworker or my classmate that said some really terrible things about me last week. I'm just going to forgive them." And poof, it's done. It's not that like that at all. It takes a lot of work. And first, you have to decide to do the work. before you can make it happen. And it's not straightforward progress either. You might be doing really well for a few days and then slide back into the, oh, if I'd only said. You know, and then you have to work all that much harder to get back to where you were. So, and here are some things that might help. You might try sharing with a trusted friend. However, we know that's not always possible. Sometimes the hurt goes much deeper than that. And, you know, maybe you need to share with the pastor or get some counseling to help cope with these feelings. But in going through all of this research, I decided, you know what, here's one I'm going to try myself. Healing through prayer instead of reliving the hurt. We have a spring on our property. It's not too far from the house. And it runs year round. I picture myself, you know, whenever I'm feeling like this, going out to the spring, and we walk there a lot, and, you know, you can pick up some leaves or grass or flower petals or whatever, and toss them into the, you know, name them for whatever this hurt is, tossing it into the stream, and then praying from the scripture. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. That's from Psalms 103, verses 15 through 16. Letting those negative feelings disappear downstream, that can be symbolic of the act of letting go, and it allows us to move forward. I plan to leave it at the stream. Rich and I were talking the other day about our dads, and we like to share memories of growing up sometimes, and we were talking about when our dads taught us how to ride a bicycle. And they were very similar stories. You know, dad gets you up on the bicycle and is holding the back of the seat and running along beside you. And you're pedaling like a frenzy, but still teetering to and fro. Sometimes he lets go a little bit. And he has to reach down and grab you and pull you back up. But you know that dad's right there. You always know he's there, so it's not as scary. So after dad starts to let go for a little bit longer, eventually, he'll let go and you just keep riding. But dad's still there. He's clapping and cheering you on, telling you, way to go. And then eventually you crash. But it's okay, because dad runs over and he picks you up and brushes you off and tells you what a great job you did. Maybe whispers, don't tell your mom I let you fall. You know, come on, let's get back on that bike and do it again. And off you go again until he teaches you to ride your bike. It put me in mind of a relationship with God. He's always there. Sometimes he even lets go. We make our own decisions. Sometimes he's there clapping for us and cheering us on. And other times he's there picking us up. No matter what, he still loves you. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 9, it reads, "Whoever has ears, let them hear this." So please hear this part. There are still consequences when we make poor decisions. Some mistakes can be fixed, and unfortunately, some cannot. But either way, God's still there to pick you up. He still loves you, and he will still forgive you. So, some background on why I chose this topic. When I told Pastor Kayla that I was interested in doing this message, my motivation had to do with my own recent struggles with forgiveness, mostly with me forgiving myself. I figured if I were going to give a message on forgiveness, then I would have to research it and maybe even learn some better ways to do it. Pastor Kayla responded with, "How about the Sunday after Easter? I'm on vacation." I was like, oh no. I have a deadline. So now I had to decide where to start my research. I'm very research oriented, if anybody hasn't figured that out yet. So I have to decide where am I going to start my research, because do you have any idea how much information there is out there on forgiveness? And, you know, we talk a lot about it in church. So there are so many stories in the Bible even on forgiveness. One recurring example that people use is with King David. David was one of God's favorites, but just like me, he wasn't perfect either. The books, podcasts, articles, all the things that I listened to and read, every one of them brought up King David at some point if the message was on forgiveness. And they all said, hey, you know, if God can forgive David, right? But at first that was still really hard for me because David's stories are pretty extreme. Pastor Kayla even talked a few weeks ago about David, and she mentioned, you know, when he was good, he was really good, but when he was bad, he was really bad. And I just didn't feel like it was a fair comparison for me personally. He was too big. He was too important. He was God's favored one. How could I dare to compare my issues with his? Still, I kept hearing it. If God can forgive David, he can forgive you. I guess to a lot of people that makes perfect sense, but for me, I continued to struggle with it. It seemed too easy. There has to be a catch. When I would get to the chapters in these books on how to forgive yourself, now that's where I'm really wanting to pay attention, right? So all of a sudden, it seemed like the advice dried up, and they would start talking about something else, how I was reading it. But the recurring theme in these chapters was forgive yourself before you can forgive others. And no matter what, God will forgive you. But how do I actually do it? No, I'm very literal. So when they say first you have to forgive yourself and then forgive others, well, if I'm not forgiving myself first, does that mean the other stuff isn't happening? Is God waiting for me to forgive myself before he will forgive me? I just was adding all these extra burdens onto myself. So one thing I learned is that I don't always believe that it has to be in that order. Sometimes it can be in the different order, and it's still going to work. But I still have to work on forgiving myself. I was listening to that Marshall Goldsmith book, The Earned Life, on my way to work one morning. I drive a long way each way to work, so I listen to a lot of Audible books or podcasts. And now this one's a business book. So I was checking off one of the boxes for my performance goal that day. I wasn't actually doing research for forgiveness. I was listening to a business book. But that's where I heard the story to leave it at the stream. It really touched my heart because I thought, this is what I've been looking for. And so as I was looking for answers on how to forgive myself, I realized I too need to leave it at the stream. We're generally harder on ourselves than we are on other people, so it's easier to forgive others and to hang on to the things that we did and to continue to remember them. But so it's easy to say God forgave David, Jesus forgave the thief on the cross, there's all these forgiveness stories. You can forgive yourself. God has forgiven you. In my head, I just kept saying, well, yeah, I believe that all of that happened, but I'm not sure that I deserve it. I was really struggling when my mom passed away in last November. She'd been sick with cancer for over 9 years, and I didn't always do things the way that she thought I should. Big surprise, right? But she was pretty good at always telling me about it. On the flip side of that is, she didn't always do things the way I thought she should do, and I learned from her, and she heard about it too. So right there toward the end, it felt like she was always angry with me, and I was struggling with how to ask her to forgive me for all the dumb things I'd done throughout my life, to disappoint her. I didn't want her to die knowing that I had been disappointing her. I was dwelling on the disappointment part and not dwelling on the parts where she was proud of me. And she always told me that too. So I knew she loved me, but there were times I felt like she didn't really like me very much. And I was working through that. But I learned that I also had to forgive myself for all of those dumb things. But only after I was praying and learning to forgive myself did it become clear my mom had forgiven me before she died. That doesn't mean that my work here is done. I still have to work on curtailing some of those dumb things because, again, not perfect here. And remember to think things through before I jump on that bicycle. I have to tell myself before I jump on the bike, Elizabeth, before you take off, think it through. Rich tells me that all the time. Did you think this through? Check out your path. Look for the obstacles. Make a plan and then take off. But remember, you won't be taken off alone. God's going to be right there beside you. Sometimes he'll be clapping and cheering you on. Sometimes he'll be picking you up after you fall. I believe in the power of prayer. It's something I've had to intentionally learn to do. I'm better at it than I used to be, for sure. It was almost 13 years ago that I stood right here with Pastor David Webster, and I got baptized right in this church. And I'll never forget, there's one sermon that Pastor David did. I even put this one in my phone because, you know, I try to put things in there that I want to remember. And he talked about how to pray using the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. A is for adore God. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. And S is for supplication. When you ask for something for other people or something for yourself. So every prayer should include at least one of these, if not all, preferably all. And for me, whenever I sat down and I would start working on this message, I'd start by praying to God. And I wrote it down so that I could say the same prayer. And sometimes I would, you know, change it up. But Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your good news. I'm so far out of my league here. Please give me the words you want me to share, but mostly give me the words that you want me to hear. God, help me to open my heart, open my eyes, and to trust in your grace to grant me your forgiveness. Amen. When my mom was really sick, we'd be getting her ready for bed. I would go and sit down next to her and say, Mom, do you want me to pray with you? And she'd always did, and she'd have a big smile on her face, and we'd pray together. Now that I look back on that time, you know, the significance of those last few months, my brother would move back here from California for 3 months, and then I moved into the house with her and my brother, learning how to pray together as a family. That's how I know. That's how I know it's real, and it's taken me some time to figure it out. But that's how I know that God has forgiven me. My mom has forgiven me, and that it's actually okay that I've forgiven myself. How is it with you? Do you have things that you need to leave at the stream? One last thing. When Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to ask the Lord for forgiveness, or to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Would you all pray with me as Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.